Are you ready to get down to business? Join seasoned entrepreneur, community leader, and Army veteran, Scott Shalom Klein, who will take you behind the scenes with those who work in America's small business scene and speak with leaders making an impact, creating jobs, and telling their story in entrepreneurship.
So let's get down to business.
On AM 560, The Answer, here's your host, Shalom Klein.
And indeed, we are all about small business, jobs, and entrepreneurship and business. We talk a lot about business. I don't know if you got time to business. I'm your host, Shalom Klein. Remember, you can always download podcasts on my website at syklein.com. While you're there, don't forget to follow me on Twitter at Shalom Klein. It's going to be a jam-packed week of content and information you will not want to miss. So I'm really excited to kick off the program today with our returning guest and supporter, massive supporter of this program. That's Laura Cacciabone-Gerace from Coldwell Banker, Stratford Place. Laura, welcome back to the program.
Always happy to be here.
Oh, I love having you. You always keep us on point. And it's always fun. You know, I always love hearing from our listeners. They get so much value, whether they're in the Chicagoland area or beyond. So let's do something a little bit different today. I certainly want to make sure we kick off the program now that our listeners know you so well and make sure that they know, again, how they can get in touch with you for all things real estate in Chicago. I figure if we start that off right now, it'll make it even easier for listeners to find you. Laura, what's the best way for folks that are getting into that real estate process to talk to you and your teammates, the experts in all things real estate?
So my cell, which you can text me or call me, 708-212-4905. And then, as always, we love my favorite email address, which is splaura@aol.com.
splaura@aol.com. And I share that all the time. And I share it, frankly, not just with folks in Chicago, not your email address specifically, but again, where that value in knowledge and veteran leadership comes in. So AOL, I think it's a branding exercise at this point because it reminds our listeners that they get experience when they talk to you. So perfect segue. Real estate is not something that you want to just sort of try things, just sort of dabble in. When you want to sell your house, you really want to sell it. Or when you want to buy a house, you really want somebody that really understands. So Laura, where did you get your start?
I got my start because my dad and his cousin, my father's background, he's a CPA. My cousin was a realtor for about 20 years. She was my mentor. And they decided to open up a real estate company. And sucked me in. And I did not want to sell real estate because I said, I don't like salespeople. So why would I do this? And my cousin told me to shut up and go get my license. And so I did. And the rest is history. And I say this almost every time on your program. It's a good thing I don't lie because I can't remember what I say. But I never, ever feel like a salesperson. I'm more of the person. I know what to do when you like the property, and I know what to do when you need to sell the property. It's really not about sales. It's more about relationships, and 90% of my business is referral based, so I must be doing it right.
You sure are, and people keep coming back to you for your veteran knowledge and experience. So weather's getting warmer. What does that mean in the real estate world? Is that a sign that that things are changing in the market?
It is definitely. People are out there trying to get their new house before the new school year starts, so they're out there pretty heavy trying to make that happen. But it's still tough. It's still a tough market. We're still very low in inventory, and interest rates aren't exactly helping. There's probably 3 to 7 buyers for every one house.
Oh my goodness! Wow! And is that specific to the Chicago market, or is that something that sort of you're seeing as a national trend?
Well, I will tell you this: I'm also coached by a company, so I do know kind of things that are going on in other states and other areas. And we are finding that some areas are cooling off where there's not multiple offers and things aren't going as fast. For instance, San Diego would be one of them. Everybody's just kind of holding out, hoping for the interest rate to drop before they pull the trigger. But in the Chicagoland area, I can tell you that our inventory is still really low and it's still really competitive to actually be the winner. And that's in all price ranges. I have buyers from 200,000 up to 1.5 million. And I'm finding the same problem in all price ranges.
That's pretty wild. So let's focus on the buyer side of things. Again, you mentioned the demographic, folks that want to get that move in before the school year. That's great. So what can folks do behind the scenes? We've talked a little bit about this in the past, but what are some of the things that folks can do, maybe even before they even get on the phone with you, Laura, or send you that email to splaura@aol.com so they can get their personal situation ready for the home buying process and really come out as a strong buyer.
Right. So you're definitely going to want to get qualified so that you know what you can afford and what you're comfortable with, because what you're qualified for might not necessarily be what you want to spend. So you're going to want to really understand that how much the interest rate is so that you know what your principal and interest payment is. And then also understand that the real estate tax is going to play a big effect on your mortgage payment as well. So you could be looking at a house that has a $5,000 real estate tax bill associated with it, and then look at the same priced home, but the real estate taxes are $8,000. And that's going to dramatically affect your mortgage payment. So those things that you have to understand so that you know when you're looking at a house, what your payment's going to be. Are you comfortable with it? Should you be looking at it? You know, if it's a house that's really at the top of your limit in terms of how much you want to spend, and then you see that the real estate taxes are even higher, then you probably shouldn't even look at that house.
I'm chatting, if you're just joining in, I'm chatting with Laura Cacciabone-Gerace from Coldwell Banker, Stratford Place, talking all things real estate with so much valuable information. And it's certainly very, very helpful. And Laura, there's an advantage to picking up the phone and talking with somebody like yourself, or of course, sending that email to getting involved. Because the one thing that that nobody can do, regardless of how great technology is with various apps, and we've had this conversation on the program before, is you have that experience of working in different municipalities, counties, townships, you know, the school districts, you can give folks real advice. And you said this earlier, you're not a very good liar. No. You're going to give it to people pretty darn straight, won't you, Laura?
Exactly. Yep. That's 100% correct. And you know, I have somebody that I work with and she says this all the time. Not every agent is created equal, and we're really not. And I think the most important thing, number one, is that you trust who you're working with. That's the most important thing. And the rest of it should come from there. I mean, I have agents that work in my office because I'm also the managing broker, and they may not have a lot of experience, but of course they're going to come to me to ask questions and I'm going to guide them. So even though they're working with somebody that maybe only has a couple of years of experience, as long as their managing broker is good, then they also get that other layer of experience. But like I said, most importantly, you want to be working with somebody you trust.
Absolutely. And lots of expertise and lots of trust when folks pick up the phone and give you a call or send you an email. And we'll make sure that our listeners know exactly how they can do that. But again, this is the season. And you heard it right here on Get Down to Business that, again, folks are lining up for every house that goes on the market. So if you want to stand out, on the buying side or frankly on the selling side as well, you need to be working with somebody that you can trust and somebody that can give you solid advice. And that's Laura Catchabone-Gerace from Coldwell Banker, Stratford Place. Laura, I love having you on the program. I can't wait to bring you on next time. But in the meantime, how can our listeners get in touch with you?
708-212-4905 or the famous splaura@aol.com.
Fantastic, Laura. You're one of the few people whose email addresses I have memorized and I can quote it in my sleep. Thank you so much for coming on the program. Laura Catchabone-Gerace from Coldwell Banker, Stratford Place. Always love having you on the program. We can't wait to bring you back on real soon.
Thanks. Take care.
Absolutely. And we've got a lot more in store for you on Get Down to Business today. We're also going to talk about the first steps in the journey of starting your business. What are the things that you need to do, including getting in the right frame of mind? We're going to talk all about that in a few minutes on the program. In the meantime, get on my website, syklein.com. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Get Down to Business, the show all about small business, jobs, and entrepreneurship. Super excited for this conversation. I'm joined by Clara Lucia from Breaking Through Consulting. Clara, such a pleasure to have you on the program. Please tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and your business. What do you do?
Oh, thank you, Shalom. It's a pleasure to be here with you. I am passionate about purpose and I am passionate about coaching. So I combine the two, and that's what I offer to my clients, you know, a place and a space where they can come and really ask those questions about meaning and what's important to them. And together we figure that out, either if it's a life situation or a career change. And the other beautiful thing that happens is that I incorporate what I call activating our positive mindset and looking into possibilities. So sometimes that means people start envisioning greater things that they didn't even envision before. So there's a lot of hope, there's a lot of positivity, and there's a lot of possibilities that end up happening for people.
Oh my gosh, that's super exciting. Again, chatting with Clara Lucia from Breaking Through Consulting. I love your passion. We're going to talk more about that passion, what you've been doing. So, but I have to ask, you know, coaching, what's a business and professional coach? How is that different from, say, a counselor or a psychologist?
That's a great question. So a coach is a person that creates a safe space for the person to come authentically. There's no need to please or there's no need to say exactly what I need to hear. It's a place for exploration and a place for a lot of possibilities and navigating topics through curiosity and through even imagining what's possible. Is different than counseling and therapy and psychology because I don't treat symptoms and I don't prescribe medicine and I'm not certified or prepared to do any of that. So it's a little bit different in terms of the support that I provide and that this is very goal-driven and very vision-driven. So there's a place where the person is now that for some reason is not working. We get into understanding a little bit about how that situation came to be, and then we start actually envisioning what's possible in an ideal state scenario. So it's very vision-driven.
Yeah, absolutely. So what kind of clients are you seeing? Obviously, we don't want you to identify any of them, but what in a general sense are they looking for when they come to you, Clara?
Yeah, it's there's a common denominator in the clients that I see, Shalom, and that is there's something off. They're either stuck in the career that they have. There's kind of a loss of interest. For some of them, it's almost this automatic, autopilot behavior and way of being. I like to put it this way. They look like zombies. And when you look at zombies, you see that they're not going anywhere, that they knock themselves on a wall and they pretend that results are different. So there's just something off in their lives or in their careers, and they're searching for something else, for something more meaningful, for something more fulfilling. And they're ready to do the work.
Absolutely. I'm chatting with Clara Lucia from Breaking Through Consulting. Clara, this is exciting. I hear it's your 10th anniversary.
It is.
What kind of trends? Yeah, this is awesome. And I should be clear, business anniversary. But what kind of trend have you seen since you started your business?
Well, I think there's, and I think a lot of these happened because of COVID. And I think there's a lot more interest from people to really go inward. And when before you would look at external things to kind of give you fulfillment and joy and success, a lot of that is now into the person's inner being and into listening to your inner voice more and to connecting with your emotions. There's a lot of social emotional intelligence that is kind of now trending. And I think people are more open to exploring that. You know, it's not so much like esoteric and kind of like juju magic anymore, but it's something that really helps you to start creating the life that you really want. And that is getting to know yourself. Self-awareness is one very important ingredient. And there's also this sense of looking for more meaning, more satisfaction, more success in terms that are important to each individual. So going inward, I would say it's a new trend.
Absolutely. And Claire, I could talk to you for hours and break apart different demographics. And we don't have that time. I want to focus on Gen Z and their mental health because it's a topic of much discussion. Can you talk about what's concerning people about this generation? And what can a personal coach do to help them get on the right path?
Yeah, great question, Salam. I think there's so much pressure. There's so much pressure. There's so much expectations of you need to do this or that, or you need to achieve certain things to be successful. There's a lot of emphasis in doing, in producing, but very little space for reflection, very little space to stop and think, to stop and really connect with what's happening within you. And I think what I see that coaching offers, at least the coaching that I offer, is a space to connect your whole humanity, meaning your body, your mind, and your soul and emotions. And we were created with those components, and we can't just simply one day wake up and separate them. So I think the opportunity that coaching offers is a space where people can come to be with all of that and to better understand how to integrate all of those components to seek more joy and to seek support and to ask for help and to, you know, love yourself a little bit more.
Absolutely. And, you know, you're touching on so many important things over here. And obviously, you are so passionate about coaching. But especially as we talk to small business owners, entrepreneurs, can you talk about what it means for people to be able to access these kinds of resources, professional and personal coaching? Mm-hmm. Why do you think it's important for companies to invest in their people?
Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you, Shalom, no people, no money. If you don't invest in the people that work day in and day out in your business, if you don't stop and pay attention to what's happening to them, how are they motivated? What is their purpose in terms of the organization or the company that they're in? How do they tie to the success of the company? If there's not an interest of company owners to understand how the people are doing, and to offer support and resources to develop them and to support them and to express that they matter, that they're valuable, and to affirm them in those kind of what's called the soft skills, the bottom line will suffer. Because if the person that works in your business is not well, eventually something in your business, something in your bottom line will break too. So it's essential for companies to invest in people's well-being and their development.
Couldn't agree more. Chatting with Clara Lucia. And Clara, you mentioned the COVID buzzword before. And I think it's really been a mindset change on so many people in terms of how people relate and associate to working. What are some of the trends that you're seeing that you want to highlight in terms of people's change in their relationship with work?
Well, I think definitely one thing that COVID brought us was the ability to work from home and the ability to, you know, I would say even be more productive, right? And that poses a challenge to the traditional way of doing business, which you don't have to be in an office 9 to 5 to demonstrate that you're productive. You can perfectly do that anywhere in the world. And, you know, technology allows us to do that. You know, technology allows us to be here talking right now. So I think COVID brought us a different perspective in terms of how work can be done and how really managers and leaders need to shift to meet those new expectations that people have. I think there's more appreciation too in terms of like the quality of life. I mean, having walks in the middle of the day, you know, maybe shutting your computer, you know, right at 5 o'clock instead of like staying, you know, for longer hours. I think all those things are just a wake up call to life balance, a wake up call to purpose and to meaning and to, you know, realizing that work is part of our lives, but work is not our life.
Oh, that's good stuff. And I know you've got a lot more to share. And I'm really proud of, again, having you on your 10th anniversary in business, Breaking Through Consulting. Been chatting with Clara Lucia. Clara, where can our listeners learn more about you and your practice and maybe even schedule a time to talk?
Yes, they can find me on my website, startbreakingthrough.com, startbreakingthrough.com, and also on my LinkedIn, Clara Lucia. And on Instagram at startingbreakingthrough.com.
Fantastic. And I know you post so much valuable information as well. So definitely our listeners will want to get in touch with you, Clara Lucia. Thank you so much for joining us on the program. And can't wait to have you back on real soon.
Shalom. Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
Absolutely. And coming up after the break, as promised, we are going to talk all things starting your business in 2024. There's a lot you need to think about, and we're going to discuss all of it in just a moment. Remember, you're listening to Get Down to Business. We've got a lot more in store for you, so don't touch that dial. Be sure to get on my website, syklein.com, so you get a sneak peek of who's up next week. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Get Down to Business, the show all about small business, jobs, and entrepreneurship. So we know that starting a business is one of the most exciting and rewarding experiences you can have. But where do you begin? There are several ways to approach creating a business, along with many important considerations. To help take the guesswork out of the process and improve your chances of success, I want to walk you through each step of the process over the next few minutes. And the first thing that you need to do is get in the right mindset. The public often hears about overnight successes because they make for a great headline. However, it's rarely that simple. Many people don't see the years of dreaming, planning, and positioning before a big public launch. For this reason, remember to focus on your business journey and don't measure your success against someone else's. Consistency is going to be key. New business owners tend to feed off their motivation initially, but get frustrated when that motivation wanes. That's why it's essential to create habits and follow routines that power you through when motivations go awry. And some business owners dive in headfirst without looking and make things up as they go along. Then there's business owners who stay stuck, frankly, in analysis paralysis and never get started. Perhaps you're a mixture of the two. That's right where you need to be. Best way to accomplish any business or personal goal is to write out every possible step it takes to achieve the goal. Then order those steps by what needs to happen first. Some steps may take minutes while others take a long time. The point is to always take the next step. So what's the first step? First one is to determine your business concept. Many business advisors will tell you to monetize what you love, but it misses two other key important elements. It needs to be profitable, and it needs to be something you're good at. For example, you may love music, but how viable is your business idea if you're not a great singer or songwriter? Maybe you love making soap, and you want to open a soap shop in your small town that already has three close by. It probably won't be easy to corner that market when you're creating the same product as other nearby stores. If you don't have a firm idea of what your business will entail, ask yourself the following questions. What do you love to do? What do you hate to do? Can you think of something that would make these things easier? What are you good at? What do others come to you for advice about? If you were given 10 minutes to give a 5-minute speech on any topic, what would it be? What's something you've always wanted to do but lacked resources for? These kind of questions can lead you to an idea for your business. If you already have an idea, it might help you expand it. Once you have your idea, measure it against whether you're good at it and if it's profitable. Your business idea also doesn't have to be the next scrub daddy or squatty potty. Instead, you could take an existing product and improve on it. You also sell a digital product, so there's little overhead. So what kind of business should you start? Before you choose the type of business to start, there's some key things to consider. What type of funding do you have? How much time do you have to invest in your business? Do you prefer to work from your home or at an office or a workshop? What interests and passions do you have? Can you sell information like a course rather than a product? What skills or expertise do you have? How fast do you want to scale your business? What kind of support do you have to start your business? And are you partnering with someone else? Does the franchise model make sense to you? Keep in mind that on Get Down to Business over the past long time, we have had so many people that have come on the program, and we've got a lot of great advice for you that can be really helpful in providing information to be successful. So make sure you get on my website, sykline.com, so you can check out some of the past podcasts of the program. And all of these things can help you research your competitors and market. Many entrepreneurs spend more time on their products than they do getting to know their competition. If you apply for outside funding, the potential lender or partner wants to know what sets you apart. If market analysis indicates your product or service is saturated in your area, see if you can think of a different approach. Take housekeeping, for example, rather than general cleaning services. You might specialize in homes with pets or focus on garbage cleanups. Remember, the first stage of any competition study is primary research, which entails obtaining data directly from potential customers rather than basing your conclusions on past data. You can use questionnaires, surveys, interviews to learn what customers want. Serving friends and family probably isn't recommended unless they're your target market. People who say they buy something and people who do are very different. Last thing you want is to take too much stock in what they say, create the product, and flop when you try to sell it. Because of all the people that said that they'd buy it, when they don't, because the product isn't something that they'd buy. And secondary research, is utilizing existing sources of information, such as census data, to gather information when you do secondary research. The current data may be studied, compiled, and analyzed in various ways that are appropriate for your needs, but it may not be as detailed as primary research. So as you do that, you start to develop your business plan. We're going to develop an entire segment to that conversation about business plans. And really, it's in that area that, again, you need to determine what kind of business entity, what kind of business structure, the legal side of things that you should have to help sort of back up your organization. So again, hopefully this brings you into the right state of mind, that right structure that can be there to be helpful as you get going in this really exciting journey of business ownership. It's really important you stay focused on the prize, doing the research, doing the prep work, and getting in the right mindset as you go along. As mentioned on my website and on your favorite podcast app, which all you need to do is just search for Get Down to Business, you'll find dozens of conversations in the past that will be helpful. Be sure to check our sponsors as well, Tom Arabali, for all things health insurance and the Affordable Care Act. Certainly a very important step in the business ownership process, all things for your health insurance. Check out his website, healthplanchicago.com, healthplanchicago.com, and we'll be right back and Get Down to Business. Don't touch that dial. Hey, welcome back to Get Down to Business. This show all about small business, jobs, and entrepreneurship. We get on my website, sykline.com. I'm thrilled to have a returning guest and a new guest at the same time. I'm thrilled to be joined by Linda Powles and Walter Villa. They have a fantastic new read beyond Haiku, Pilot Stories. Welcome to the program, Linda and Walter. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Shalom. It's great to be here.
Thank you for having me. Just a credit that you guys are good at what you do, because my nickname, the Miami Herald, was A-Track, because that's where my technology is. And so for you to get me on this show, it's a credit to your production.
Well, that's a great way to kick off the program over here. So, Linda, do you mind introducing us to both of you and tell us how you became friends?
I'd love to. And the last time I was on your show, Shalom, which was great, we had just published the first pilot poetry book, Pilots Write Poetry. There was a second one after that, Women Pilots Write Poetry, with unpublished poems by Amelia Earhart. And this is the third one. Walter is a journalist and a sports writer with the Miami Herald, and he had interviewed me about these poetry books. And after his publishing The Miracle Mission, his first book, and by the way, we have the same publisher, which is a Chicago-based Fig Factor Media, Walter called me and asked if I'd be interested in writing a book about pilot stories. And that's how the project got started.
Absolutely. That's incredible, Linda. That's amazing. So Walter, over to you. Where did this sort of concept, where did the interest and fascination about your Beyond Haiku pilot stories come about? Tell us the process and some of the themes you were looking for.
Well, the process really was my interest in my friendship with Linda, because she kind of glossed over a little bit quickly, but I actually wrote about her three times. So, and I think the first time was for a Miami-Dade College publication. Then she asked me, hey, since you work, you know, I'm a freelance writer for a lot of different publications. And she said, hey, can you get my story in the Miami Herald? I says, well, let me see. And then we did. And then I said to her, hey, can we get the story in American Airlines, their in-house publication? And then she made some calls. Voila, it got in there. And so we had worked together three times. We had a lot of fun talking to each other. And so that's where that I had written the first book, my first book. And I said, Linda, you must know a lot of cool stories about pilots. It wasn't like I had this deep fascination with airlines or pilots, whatever. It was just like we were having so much fun, you know, doing this whole process. I said, you know, you must have a lot of stories and know a lot of people. And she did. And so from there, what happens, I would typically, a lot of times the stories would say, I would typically say, hey, wouldn't it be cool if we can get a story about these pilots that fly directly into hurricanes? I've always heard about that, but it seems nuts. And she, and then, you know, she would do her magic and voila, she would find us these people. And that happened over and over again, where I would suggest something and then she would go through a lot behind the scenes to find these people.
Oh my gosh, amazing. And I know one of you does have a fascination with pilots specifically, and that's you, Linda.
Yes.
Can you describe the pilots who are sharing their stories in this book?
Absolutely, Shalom. We have 11 chapters, 15 pilots. And briefly, we have a Coast Guard helicopter pilot who flies not only relief missions, but also drug interdiction. We have the hurricane hunters, the NOAA pilots, Carl Newman, a history of alcoholism in pilots. And we have a former Northwest Airlines pilot, Lyle Prowse. We have a Russian pilot from Yakutsk, Anna Lozovskaya, the Tuskegee Legacy, Brad Lang, and 9/11, a pilot who perished during 9/11. We interviewed his partner, David Charlebois, is the name of the pilot. Also, saving pets, stories about life-saving flights by a nonprofit. Michael Schneider is the pilot, Southwest pilot who died of cancer before the book was published. And then we have airborne professional athletes, Jim Richter and Al Secord, NFL and NHL, Bush pilots, which was a really amazing story, three of them, Clint MacArthur, Tahira Kameh, and Giovanna Pilar-Biera, one from Indonesia, one from Tanzania, and one from Alaska. And then the final one is Terry McAllister, who is an airline pilot with American who survived an assault. That's pretty much the human stories within the book.
Amazing, Linda. And I do want to hear from both of you, starting with Walter, of one story that really touched your heart from these amazing, amazing cast of pilots that Linda just outlined.
Well, I think the story, the last one, and by the way, we talked a lot throughout this whole process of how to do this. And I said that I didn't want like two sad chapters in a row. We try to mix it up and basically run through the gamut of emotions. If you're reading this book, there's all kind of things that I think you feel as you read it. But the story of Terry was the last chapter. That I think that was the one that to me was the most amazing. Just her courage to tell her story, and then also her father's story is what actually begins the chapter, which is a phenomenal story. And there's clippings in the Miami Herald from, I don't know, 50 something years ago, 60 something years ago, where he was flying solo, a military maneuver, I guess, and he had engine trouble and he had to abort the mission and he was Linda, did he parachute? Is that what happened?
Yes, he ditched and he was lost at sea.
Right, he was lost at sea. They couldn't find them. They had to do the military had to knock on his wife's door. They had a newly born child, and knock on the door and saying, "We've lost your husband." If you can imagine that human emotion. Then, but he hadn't been lost. He had been found, I think, on a freighter. They didn't have communication. He was indeed alive. And that's how we start that chapter, that incredible story. And Terry hadn't even been born yet.
That's amazing. And it's all in Beyond Haiku Pilot Stories. We're going to continue our conversation with the authors in just a moment. Honestly, inspirational stories, all of the pilots that have been outlined, but really pulling that one out, just amazing. We'll be right back. Chatting with Linda Powles and Walter Villa, the amazing co-authors of Beyond Haiku Pilot Stories. Really incredible hearing the pilots who are sharing their stories. So, Walter, back over to you. What's the message you want people to take away from your book?
That's a funny question, because that was when we had our book launch, that was kind of asked, and you'll find that I'm not that I'm shallow, but I'm not that deep that I was some overriding theme that I was thinking about as I was putting this together with Linda. Really, each chapter is its own entity. And I really just wanted to profile these people, take the stories as they come, and just have them grab the reader and be interesting. But during our book launch, something like this was asked, and Linda told a story about a circle. Maybe Linda quickly can tell that story, because she's a lot deeper than I am.
Well, Shalom, I guess if there is any message to take from this is, number one, that pilots are human, and these are human stories about people who fly. So we'd like to honor them, but also, as Walter was saying, make them interesting. This is for the next generation, for people who are considering perhaps flying, to see the different types of things that can be done and who does this, and maybe see themselves in the characters in the chapter. Now, the circle of life, we were talking about that. It's a symbol that was used by Lyle Proust in the chapter on drinking, which is a redemptive measure. And there's always the issue of second chances. And I think that that's a theme that pervades all of this, really.
Yeah, amazing, amazing.
If I may add one quick thing is, when I was thinking up this idea and during the early stages, I wanted to be a book where you can, because a lot of people don't read in a straight line. They might pick up the book and start in the middle. Some people start at the end. I've heard, you know, from my career in journalism, people doing all kinds of things the way they read. And I wanted you to be able to pick up the book in any chapter, and you can read that one chapter. And that's a cool chapter in and of itself. So it's 11 distinct chapters with different characters. And you can just read one chapter and then come back a month later, if that's your time schedule, and read another chapter, and it'd still be fine.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I mean, that's the beauty of, again, how you've really taken just the all-stars. And Linda, as you said a moment ago, I know this has been your life's work, really in inspiring the future. And that's been the Beyond Haiku book series. So as we come to a conclusion, Linda, tell us about the rest of the series. You've already outlined it. And again, what's coming up in the future and how people can get a copy and get in touch.
Excellent. Thank you. The next book in the series, we still have two more in the pilot poetry series. The next, curating poems from military pilots, and Shalom, I'll be in touch with you about that. Military pilots write poetry. And the final one in the poetry series is Seasons of a Pilot's Life.
Can't wait.
Those two are perhaps the end of 24, beginning of 25, and then the end of next year. Because it does take a while to curate the poems and to do the art. All the books are available through Amazon. And proceeds, I've started a nonprofit, the Beyond Haiku Foundation. We will be able to donate proceeds from the books and or make curricular materials to be able to continue the mission of educating others on the wonders of flight.
Absolutely. God bless you, Linda. That's amazing. And Walter, thank you for your incredible work. Really, your joint contributions have produced a masterpiece, and we'll, of course, link in our show notes so people can get in touch, supporting an amazing cause. And Linda, I can't wait to be in touch. on the book regarding with military pilots. That's incredible. Super duper excited. And that's a wrap for us this week on Get Down to Business, the show all about small business jobs and entrepreneurship. As always, you get on my website, sykline.com. Be sure to subscribe, rate, review, and share on your favorite podcast apps. And of course, next week, we'll be right back on AM560 in Chicago and anywhere podcasts can be found with some more amazing entrepreneurs doing amazing things. To success, let's get down to business. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks for tuning in.